Welcome to the Chocolate Cake Bites podcast. This is a podcast where we will discuss the sweet nuggets of goodness that come from living the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Ken Williams. The opinions, attitudes, thoughts, and ideas that we discuss are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily a reflection of the actual doctrines of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Thanks for listening and enjoy this week's conversation.
And we're actually having a conversation this time. As I promised, we have Julia, who is somebody that I've recently reconnected with from my home ward. I don't even know if I should call it that anymore. I haven't lived there for 40 years or something like that. But from the old 10th ward, which doesn't exist anymore.
Right?
So welcome. We had you on a few weeks ago and fun conversation with Annette about forgiveness.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm happy to be here. It was fun. Yeah.
So if you ever want to be on a podcast with me, then all you have to do is tell me what you want to talk about, because I love talking with people about different things. And a lot of times either something will hit my mind in a different way, or I'll read something that in a way that I haven't read it before, or something will be sent to me and I'll think about things in a different way. And I just love digging into it. So welcome, Julia, first of all.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
But I can't remember where I had this thought, but a lot of times we talk about faith. We talk about having faith, the importance of having faith. And I remember my dad, and Julia knows my dad for almost as long as I have.
Almost.
Was he your home teacher for a while?
Oh, gosh. I feel like he had to have been. He was definitely one of those influential adults in my youth, in many different capacities. So it was always good to see him. It always felt familial and friendly. And so probably.
And I think my dad was probably in the young men's program at the same time your mom was in the young women's program.
Yes.
Because I know they got along great. They had similar mindsets, approaches about youth program and stuff. So he always had wonderful things to say about you and your family.
And likewise, we return every positive thought. Yeah.
We love the Stakers. So I was thinking of a conversation I had with my dad many, many years ago, and he talked about faith, and he talked about he was trying to understand faith. And he explained to me that, and it seems like I was very young, probably in my maybe early teens, maybe late single digit ages. But he said that faith was such a difficult, complex concept. He had been praying to understand what faith was for years, like more years than I was alive at that point. And I don't know that he was still at that point, still continuing to pray, but it seemed like he had been praying for many years before he got an answer. And unfortunately, he didn't give me an answer of what faith is. So I don't know what it is, but let me back that up. I think I know what faith is. I don't know that I could describe it. I don't know that I could give it a definition. There are the scriptural definitions, like, faith is the evidence, the substance of things not seen, something. I should be better prepared when I have these conversations. But this is not scripted. I just, sometimes things come to my mind as we're talking. And so it got me thinking, this idea of faith, we throw it around a lot, especially as we talk about, we use it a lot of times as a replacement for belief. We use the word faith as an explanation or a description of religion or religious beliefs. My faith is, or my you're challenging my faith. A lot of times that's how we think about it. But I want to poke around with the idea of what is faith really, and what does it feel like? What's the difference between having faith and maybe hope? Maybe that's my alternative.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I have so many thoughts on that.
I'm glad because I'm running out of thoughts.
That's hilarious. No, ready, set, go. You know, it's funny when you invited me to participate today and you sent me sort of what you wanted to talk about just in that statement, what does faith feel like? I, like the first thing that popped in my head, I'm like, oh, feels like a choice. And then I'm like, that's probably not where he wanted to go with that. Faith is a choice. And so I started thinking about it. And in terms of faith as a feeling, I see it. I'm a self-proclaimed girl of faith from a self-proclaimed family of faith. Mm-hmm. And so my experience with faith has been more that it is a state of being, a state of mind, or a state of meaning. And it's not, there are certainly associated emotions mm-hmm. and feelings that come with that, but sort of it depends on whether we're talking about, you know, our mind, our body, or our spirit, kind of relative to the context that we're defining it. But as I was thinking about it, I did kind of come up with my own definition. Mm-hmm. Just based on my experience, and I look at faith as a choice, and it's the choice to be believing. And with that choice to be believing, because of the presuppositions that I am always assuming as a believer, and we can talk about those if you want to, but what it provides me is the ability to experience confirming hope that allows peace or comfort in uncomfortable situations, confidence in a future outcome or deliverance, and faith holds space in places like fear to put my attention so that I don't feel overwhelmed or paralyzed by what's in front of me. It allows mm-hmm. me to move forward through it with hope. And, I also asked my husband and my sister through conversations, like you extended the invitation probably 48 hours ago. And so 24 hours ago, when I'm like, I don't know if I'm going the right direction, let me just bounce that same question off my husband and my sister. And so yesterday I asked my husband and he gave me like the best Ed answer. Uh-huh. Ed is my husband. Like it's perfect. And he's like, no, faith isn't a feeling. It's the eligibility before action. It's like the price you pay to feel blessed. And he's like, think of a trust fall. Like you just do the action and then it feels so good when you get caught.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
I like there's that.
Right?
Yeah.
But then I'm on the phone with my sister and I'm like, hey, well, I've got you on the phone. Let me ask you this question. And I'm like, what does faith feel like? And she is in the middle of exercising that faith. Mm-hmm. You know, she's in the middle of something that has all of the angst and the unknown and the uncertainty that goes in with those when we feel a little stretched. And she's like, oh, for me. And she explains her situation. She's like, the timeliness is amazing, but faith feels hard and hopeful. And then in the beautiful, she's such a lovely person and so poetic in mm-hmm. her deliveries of everything. And she's like, oh, faith for me right now, it's the heart-wrenching surrender to the work and maintaining the belief that he will show up and deliver us again. And she said, and that lets me be happy in the hard.
Ooh. I really like both of those.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons that I even thought of the question is because I don't know that there's an answer. But I think there's some great benefit in playing around with it.
Sure.
So As you were talking through those, I just kept thinking about what does faith mean? What does it mean, and how does it connect to what these two different? I think they're congruent, but they're very different ideas. And I was thinking about a coaching call I was on. I was talking to a coach because I was going through some things at work that. I don't know if anybody knows. I had some drama at work. I was preparing to promote, and I had some great support, and but there were some things that were happening in the moment that seemed to derail a lot of things, and so my coach asked me something about. How do you feel about the possibility of you eventually promoting? And I said, it's guaranteed. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, spoiler, it didn't happen. And there, I can explain. I think I can explain both. It is going to happen and it didn't happen without contradicting each other. Number one, I just had this certainty. And so maybe that's faith. I just knew if I continue, if I do the things, it's going to happen. And whether it happens this week or the thing that was happening, the struggle, the mental games that I was dealing with is I had a boss who I loved this guy. I loved working for this guy. We were peers for a very long time. He promoted. I worked for him. I loved it. And then he got sick with COVID and died. And he was just such a fun person to work with and work for. And I didn't even work for him for that long. So on one hand, I'm really upset that I no longer have this opportunity to work for him. But on the other hand, that opens up a position that now I can apply for. And so I was struggling with, do I feel bad that he's gone, or do I feel happy that now there's an opening? And so I was talking through that with a coach, and I really believed that where I was, the approach that I was pursuing at work, it was going to happen. And it just, I was in the middle of the process. I don't know if this is a 1 week waiting period or a 3 year waiting period, but it is going to happen. And then I made some different decisions along the way. So that's the story behind my wondering if faith is that certainty. It's the hope for things that are not seen, but are true, because I could have, and really, if I wanted to continue, I would have had to change who I was, and I was not willing to do that. So what the next level was looking for was not what I was willing to offer. So so that's one thought. Faith is that certainty. And if that's true, how do you create that kind of certainty around other things? I had it around this promotion. I may have it around my cat I don't even know what happened. I may have it around, the sun's going to come up tomorrow. I may have it around other things like that. But if I were to set a goal, for example, how do I develop that same feeling of faith that I'm going to accomplish this goal when I may not have the same level of certainty? So that's one question. And I don't know if I probably have another question in there too, but I think if I define faith that way, then faith feels very certain. And
well, agree with you. Yeah, I apologize. Don't mean to interrupt. But yes, I think you can always, whether you're talking about matters of faith, gospel related, your personal esteem, your identity, your experience of anything, or you're talking about work and things that are more academic. If you are a person of faith, if you exercise faith in that what it allows you to be certain about is that what is going to happen is what needs to happen to prepare you for your purpose in the world and whatever happens, that experience, if you lean into your faith, can be used to bless your life and bless the lives of other people. So, which proves out, yes, like in your experience, yes, you were going to be promoted. It just didn't look when you finally did get promoted. It happened to be a promotion into a bad boss life coach, yes, and, you know, a new podcast. Like it's right. It promoted you in a different way, but that experience got you there.
Yes.
And it blesses your life today and blesses the life of countless other people. And that you can have certainty around. Whatever this experience is ahead of me, I'm going to show up and I'm going to lean into my faith. And because I do that, I know that this experience can be used to bless my life and bless the lives of other people.
So you're blowing my mind right now. Which is great. I'm trying to decide if I want to go here. We'll just go there.
Okay. So,
one of the things that I have been doing every day this year is I made a list on December 31st of all the things that I was doing or the attitudes that I had that I was just done with. These are things that this is old Ken. We're moving to new Ken. And so I have those things. I actually tore them up, threw them away from my list in the Denver airport. Probably not accessible anywhere. But I have my list. I read through this list every day. These are the things that I'm becoming. And I'm seeing things now that I'm going to be, because I wrote things I'm ready to become. It's not that I'm ready to become. I am becoming. These are the things. But one of the things that I have on this list is that I am grateful for the increased awareness that I have of how my choices and my path have made me better able to serve others. That, because it's so easy for me to look at a situation like that, that I left my job before I could promote, and that means it could mean anything, but it doesn't mean that. And I was going through this inner turmoil of what do? Marcine, who's just so astute in many ways, looked at me and she said, "Do you ever feel like when you make a decision and you're not moving fast enough, that sometimes God will just nudge you along?" And I said, "Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about." Because things seem to get, they seem to devolve quickly from annoying to intolerable. And, but those experiences have brought me to where I need to be able to serve other people. And that's not the only situation like that. The thing that I'm taking from what you just said, that I believe that the phrase that came through my head was everything happens for a reason. And I hate that phrase because I think we use it to disempower ourselves and others. But I think that the things that, and I'll see if I can say this in a way that makes sense the way that I want to say it. The things that happen to us happen. That's not coming out right. We become who we need to be because of the things that happen to us and the way that we learn from those things, the way that we may respond to those things. So to put a frame around it, I believe that I'm going to win. And not in an egotistical way, not in an arrogant way, but I believe that the way I've heard people say things like the universe is conspiring in your favor.
Yes.
So that, or God wants things to work out or things are going to work out for our good. And we know that good from every Marvel movie, especially good is going to win, right? So if that is the assumption, if that's the belief, if I can hang my hat on that, if I can have faith that good is going to win, I'm going to be better off, then it's just, that's where it gets interesting to me. How's it going to work out? Because I think sometimes, like with the job, I thought that my career was going to take this direction and it took that direction. And that doesn't mean anything went wrong. It just means it went different than I assumed. I guessed wrong is what it boils down to.
Yeah.
So I had another thought. It'll come back to me. But I had another thought in there somewhere that I think supports that as well. But it's, that is, I think, where I'm landing, that it's going to work out. I just, on this side of it working out, I don't know what that's going to look like. And on the other side, I can look back and say, oh, of course I had to go through the toxic work environment. Of course I had to, whatever it was.
Yes. Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I think that leaning into your faith, we hear a lot of people talk about, or putting it in the context of, well, turn that problem over to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Just turn it over and put it at Jesus' feet, or in that sort of, I don't know, that's that sort of idea.
Yeah.
And I think when we do that, what makes that possible when we're praying for something, or we're leaning into our faith, or we want to turn our problems over, what we're doing is turning over the desired outcome to be whatever the outcome is that is for us, that we don't see right now, but might be better for us. So we give up our parameters of how long it's going to take and what the destination is going to look like when we do that. And which isn't easy to do, you know, to pin your hopes of a particular experience outside of your control.
Yeah.
And allowing it to be something other than what you want your desired outcome to actually be.
Right. But I think that, I was going to say we, I'm just going to make this personal. This is me. And maybe other people can identify with this as well. But I have this idea of how something's supposed to work out, how my career is supposed to work out, how my relationship's supposed to work out, how my anything, how it's going to work out. And when it doesn't, there's a grieving process, because I think something's gone wrong. And in reality, nothing has gone wrong. So that's a statement of faith. I'm just going to put out there that nothing's gone wrong, even though that we imagine that it has. So I'm thinking about the next step for me now. So this has been a year of transformation in a lot of ways for me, not quite a year yet, but I also recognize that I'm not where ultimately I'm going to end up. And I also know there's a phrase that one of my coaches told me that you're in the kicking and screaming phase, that where you are is so comfortable, but to get to the next level, you've got to give up who you are, or where you are, or what you are. And the thing is that what I'm giving up is going to be replaced with something better.
Yeah.
So maybe that's faith in there too, that I don't have evidence of even what that looks like. I just know that it's going to be better. And I'm kicking and screaming because so again, here I am processing as I'm talking, but I suspect, here's my question. If I knew what Ken version 3.0 looked like.
Yeah.
Would I rush to that? Or would I still be kicking in the street, screaming, holding on to version 2? And I don't know. And I think looking back, we'll go back to the job. If I saw a year ago,
yes,
how my life is, how my relationships are, how my everything. If I saw it a year ago, I would not have been fighting with myself over how much longer to stay, how long until I turn in my notice, when do I quit, what am I waiting for? I would have jumped at it. I would have jumped at the chance. Let's get out of here. Let's move on to something better. But I was at that point, I was kicking and screaming as well because I was so comfortable with the horrible environment. It was really miserable, but I was comfortable. I knew it. I understood it.
Yes.
And so I suspect, here's another one where I need to remember this, because as I continue to go through this kicking and screaming phase, if I assume that in a month or a year or whatever it is down the road, if I look back to today and compare a year from now or 6 months from now to today, I hope that I would be thinking that I would jump at the chance to feel a little bit icky for a few minutes, to get to that point where I am much more whatever, much more who I am destined. And I use that word cautiously, but who I am created. I'll use that word. I'm created to be so much more than who I'm being right now.
Yes. And let me just offer, first of all, that you're exactly where you're supposed to be, mm-hmm. gaining the experience that you need to gain for your purpose. And let me bring you back to why we are people of faith, because we believe that we were divinely inspired, divinely created, and that we are, that we are creatures of infinite value, and that time and space as we know it today is limited to this life, but our life, our creation or our origin was before this life, and it will continue after this life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is why we're having a conversation about faith, because there is some foundation for believing. And if we are believing that we are we're not a human being having a spiritual experience, but we're spiritual beings having a human experience,
right,
then I would say you did that already. You met that particular, you jumped at the chance because you're here. You mm-hmm. came, you were in a premortal realm and given the opportunity to come, make mistakes, get a body, go through the messy and the hard and all of that, you jumped at the chance. And so here you are. And even psychology, when you look at the growth and development of people in their consciousness, I mean, you have to go through. We all start in that primal, primitive survival space where we trust because we have to, our survival depends on it. And then we go through a season of intuitive projection where we're testing everything. We learn the math of relationship. You know, there's reciprocity and we believe in fairness and security. We have confidence in that because to our young mind at the moment, it appears we have all these if-then statements, and then our childhood faith or our childhood consciousness bumps up against the reality of the world and we're disillusioned by it and we have disconnection and we have conflict and crisis, and there's the angst and the struggle and the self-actualization and the kicking and screaming.
Right.
Happens here. But after the doubt and the wrestle and the desires and the humility that will eventually be ours, you know, mm-hmm. we move into that reflection and reconciliation and understanding and the allowing for it to just be what it is, messy and all of it. And we integrate that. And that is what we call in consciousness and human development, we call that enlightenment, mm-hmm. right? But it's also the same in our faith journey. It is where we come in and we're like, yes, we are part of something greater than us. Of course, we're doing all the doing that we are. Of course, we're all the things. But through the whole entire developmental process, if we can sign up for faith, if we can show up as a person of faith, I think that we show up as someone believing we can pin our hopes on something outside of the current situation. And it allows us to continue to move forward. We show up as a better person who can navigate, not well, but a little more easily mm-hmm. than someone who's just trying to white knuckle it all on their own.
Yeah, that brings up a point. The question that I think sometimes I've had is, why? Why is it? I'll be a little bit more specific than just why.
Yeah.
Why is it that it's so hard for us to figure this out sometimes? And so I'll tell a story because as you were talking, this experience came to my mind. And one of my favorite things to do is ask questions. I love asking questions. I love asking questions that make people think. It's not nearly as fun as when people ask me questions that make me think, because then I have to think, yeah. But I love. So a lot of times I'll ask, as I work with the youth, or I work with, right now teaching Elders Quorum, I'll ask questions that are not obvious. They don't have obvious answers. And so before we started recording, we were talking about the vision that both Lehi and Nephi had recorded in 1 Nephi 8 and then 11. And the thing that is interesting to me, so again, the question that I'm asking is, why is it that this gets to be so difficult? We have to go through all the hard things to be able to learn this, to figure it out. Why can't we just study it like we would a math book and just understand it? And I was on the High Council many years ago, and I was in a High Council meeting. Our stake president, who's now our Area 70, asked a question. He asked a question, and it was obscure enough that it wasn't something I was going to be able to come up with an answer right away. And he said, his question was about, I don't remember the exact wording of it, but he said, next time you go to the temple, pay attention to this. And he just gave kind of a context, and then he asked a question. And so the question that I then had in my mind was about this, the vision that Lehi had. Lehi, father of a family, they're leaving Jerusalem, and he has a vision. He has a vision of a tree. He doesn't talk a lot. He does talk a little bit about his experience. But then Nephi, his son, youngest son, goes and prays to have the same vision. And so one of the questions I oftentimes would ask people is why, and this was not a challenge question. It was just kind of I wanted him to think a little bit. Why was having faith not good enough for Nephi? Why was it so important to him that he saw this vision? And I didn't really think about the answer. And I remember sitting during sacrament meeting one time, and it hit me. The answer hit me. And this is, I love this verse. This is 1 Nephi 10, verse 17. And this is where Nephi is explaining why he wanted to have this vision. And he says, after I heard all the words of my father about the things he saw in a vision, I was desirous that I might see and hear and know of these things. So that's the statement. He wanted to see it. Okay, that sounds great. But as I was sitting in the sacrament meeting, I realized it has nothing to do with whether or not Nephi had faith. It was he had to have that experience. He had to just like you and I. I can tell you, Julia, it's all going to work out. It's going to be fine. And you have to have the experience where things get crappy and then it all works out. It works out better than you imagined, differently than you imagined, but we have to have that experience. And we don't learn. I joke that I'm a slow learner, but we don't learn as deeply from other people's experiences, from the words in books, from the stories of other people. We learn to an extent, but I have shared this before and it just again came to mind. So I'm going to share it this way. I'm going to change it up. I usually talk about chocolate cake when I do this, but I'm going to talk about something different. If you have ever been sitting on a chair and you sit on the back legs so that you push yourself back just enough that you feel like you're falling and then you recover. Describe that feeling in a way that other people have that experience.
Yeah. I don't think you can.
Our language does not allow for it. Yeah. And so I think that's one of the things I think that's wonderful about the shift towards Come Follow Me style lessons and the curriculum and things like that. We have to have the experience. And then we use language that my stomach was fluttering and we can understand that. Okay, yeah, I've had that experience. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean anything until you've had that experience. And I think that that's true with, I'm just going to go to First Nephi. I'll go back to the story, the vision, because it was interesting. This is Lehi's description of the vision. And we're not going to turn this into a description, a tree of life discussion, but we will do that at some point. But First Nephi 8, this is Lehi describing the fruit. I just think this is interesting. Verse 10, he says, I beheld a tree whose fruit was desirable to make one happy. And to me, that sounds very objective. He sees a tree, he sees fruit. Yeah, that's good. I can tell between good and evil, that's on the good side. And then verse 12, as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceedingly great joy. And I think the way that he describes that is so much, it to me suggests there's a richness of experience that he did not have just observing it. So, and I think that's true for every experience that we have, whether it's a spiritual experience in a human condition or a human experience in a spiritual condition or whatever it is, that we can learn things like just throwing out something that you referenced earlier. We're divine. We are of divine creation. And I can hear that. We sing in primary, I'm a child of God, and we sing it for years. But then there's that moment that you have the experience and you discover how your Father in heaven feels about you. And it's totally different. Then it means something different. So I don't know why I went on to that whole tangent, but.
but I agree. And I actually think it's totally relevant because the suggestion is that we are here divinely with a purpose. And maybe my purpose is different from your purpose. And maybe Nephi's purpose was different than Lehi's or any of his brothers, for that matter. Clearly it was. And so he needs to gain the experience he needs to get to fulfill his purpose. And so the experience he needs to gain can't always, you know, it's interesting. You look at a family, whether it's Lehi's family or my family or someone else's family, you know, each of the, let's take my family, the Staker kids, right? There's four of us. We all have incredibly different, unique experiences. We were all raised in the same house, in the same neighborhood.
Same
parents, same teachers, year after year at the same schools. We were taught very similarly, mm-hmm. at least from similar sources, almost identical sources, but we all have had an incredibly different experience.
Right.
And I would argue it's necessary because we all needed to gain experience, and not all of the experience we needed to gain to fulfill our individual purposes could be gained in my parents' house.
Right.
So we needed to gain a certain amount of experience in the world. I gained mine 20 years outside of the gospel. You know, my siblings gained theirs in other circumstances, and we're all at this point using that experience. All of us currently inside the gospel, mm-hmm. using that experience to bless our lives and bless the lives of other people. There's trade-offs, you know.
Yeah.
You mentioned the prodigal son earlier. Maybe that was
before. Might be before we were.
Might be before we were
conversations
recording.
Before we record. That's all right.
But you mentioned the prodigal son, for instance. There's two sons with very different experiences.
Right.
Both experiences, super valuable at the end of the day. We focus in that story on one versus the other, but both are really viable, really important experiences that could be used.
Yes.
Afterwards, to bless both of their lives, bless each other's lives,
yeah.
and bless the lives of many more people. And here we are today, lives where that their experience is still blessing us, right? So,
yeah.
Well, every experience needs to be different.
And the thing that is interesting about that as well is that we, as a parent, for example, I watch
yeah.
my kids. And I would love to be able to control the experiences that they have. And
yeah.
it does not benefit them. They're not going to gain what they need. And unfortunately, I don't have any idea what they need, especially once they leave my house. I don't know what they need. And I can just sit back and kind of watch and hope. But maybe... maybe that's here. This will maybe this is be, will be how I kind of wrap it up for me, and then final thoughts that you have on anything that we've touched on or not touched on. But I think that I need regular reminders that it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. I remember a talk from President Eyring, who General Conference several years ago said, if you're worried about family members that have drifted, if you're worried about, he didn't call it sad heaven, but I've heard people talk about sad heaven, that somebody's not going to be there and it's going to be so sad. We've had, the two
yeah.
of us have had this conversation. But if you're worried about that, you're worried about the wrong thing. Get
yes.
yourself where you need to be, and everything else is going to be so much more wonderful than you can imagine. And I think that speaks to me anyways, to the idea that it's going to be okay. Good is going to win. I am going to come out on top, whatever that looks like. And the more I remember that, if I couple that with, I'm a divine son of eternal parents, I have a purpose that is going to bless people's lives, and everything that I go through, the good, the bad, the the hard, the easy, everything is going to be contributing to that in some form or fashion. And really, it's the hard that gives me better, I was going to say stories. It's better stories. It is better stories, but it's also better ability to bless people's lives. I've been there. I know this is going to hurt, but
yes.
it's going to be okay. There's a sister in our stake who I've referenced her before, and maybe I'll link in the show notes. Her name is Kim Martin. And when we moved here 30 some years ago, her youngest at the time son had just died of cancer. And then over the course they had, I think on her husband's side, there was a genetic issue that caused her husband and daughter and son later all ended up dying of cancer. And so she's lost her husband and her son and another son and her daughter all to cancer, and her husband and son, one of her sons, within 2 weeks of each other. And so she has been through a lot, the pain that she's been through, but how, and she, she's got a Mormon message that she did on this, how much better she feels capable of ministering to people who are going through the same kind of thing because she's been through it. And she can show it, there is another side. There is the other side to it. You're going to get through it. And so, yes. So I think for me, going back to the original question, faith is, I'm going to call it variable because I don't always remember. Sometimes somebody will say something and all of a sudden I think, oh, my life is in turmoil. But as I remember that it's going to be okay. I'm going to come out on top. It is not going to be rainbows and daisies. It is going to be uncomfortable, but it's, I'm going to win. I'm going to end up better than I can imagine. And if I'm 100%. Not better than I can imagine, then it's not over yet. So, yes. So for me, that's where I am putting my faith, that it's a hope, it's a confidence, it's a comfort, it's all those things. And sometimes it is more hopeful than confident, and sometimes it's more confident. I absolutely know I'm going to get this promotion. And sometimes it's more, I sure hope it all works out. But I think I'm going to classify all that as faith. It's kind of a whole messy glob of intricate feelings that all kind of are interconnected.
Yeah. I love that. And I know there's so many people who are in the midst of a faith crisis, or who are, who feel challenged in their faith, or who are questioning their faith, or they feel like maybe they don't have faith. And to those people, I would just encourage them to lean in and discover for themselves that faith can be a choice. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage them to put their focus on that it can be their choice instead of on their doubt. The wrestle is part of it. Yeah. You know, doubting your faith is an element of faith. It's not the opposite. It's not the antithesis. It's part of it. So when we focus on keeping our faith and we doubt and we ask and we wrestle, if we can focus on being believing, there's absolutely zero risk to doing that. There is no risk to doing that, but what it will allow for you is the ability to show up as a person who believes in the blessings of abundance in a future time and place where the best is still yet to come. And the future can be so bright. And in that place, it is a more beautiful experience of being. The hard's going to be hard. Yeah. We're going through the hard. And if we haven't gone through the hard's coming.
It's coming. Yeah.
And our experience of the hard can still be a happy, beautiful experience if we're showing up as a person who believes in abundance that is still available beyond the experience.
Yeah.
And we're probably a more beautiful person to encounter in the world for other people as well.
That's true. I like that. I don't have anything to add.
Awesome.
which is rare. Actually, it probably just means, it's time to wrap it up. So thanks so much for spending some time. And
thanks for having me.
Talking about faith, such an ambiguous question. So we talked before we were recording, we were talking about the vision of the Tree of Life. And so I think it would be fun to get together and just share some of our thoughts, our insights on that, because I think there's so much richness in that. So we'll plan that for a future episode if you're game.
I love it. Absolutely.
All right. Very good. Annette was traveling, so no excuses anymore. She's back.
Awesome.
We'll get her on at some point again. And I don't know. Let me know what else you want to talk about. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about or whatever I want to talk about. There you go. Perfect. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Chocolate Cake Bites. Please like, share, subscribe, and give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to hear your comments and ideas, and you can reach out to me at ken@chocolatecakebites.com. And before you end the day, take a few minutes to consider, who do you know who needs chocolate cake?